The casualty clearing station. The new girl was peering about the tent when Charlotte and Kathleen stumbled in at the end of their shift that July day in 1917. The work itself was exhausting. 12 hours of standing, bending, folding, feeding, bandaging, debriding, cleaning, and sterilizing, only to repeat it all again. After that, the effort of presenting cheerful countenances to the hundreds of wounded men they passed each day, and it may be understood that their labours were truly Herculean. Giving a smile to men who might not live through the night, and who knew this to be a fact, was begrudged by none of the nurses. But after long hours of facing down death with men who had not seen a woman smile or felt the gentle touch of a feminine hand in months, the most fervent desire to be of service could transmute into mere stoical endurance under the simple grinding toil, as if turning gold into lead. Know this, and understand the depth of the two nurses' fatigue as they tramped into their temporary canvas-covered home. The camp had been in place for over a year, and this was fortunate for the weary women. They were able to trudge directly to their tent without sparing it conscious thought. When the hospital was reorganized the previous spring to accommodate the ever-increasing flow of the wounded, the nurses' tents and their few belongings were placed haphazardly around the new hospital location. The nightly blackout would force the two girls to creep along, whispering for directions from equally worn-out nurses who were fortunate enough to already be abed. More than once, Charlotte and Kathleen had tumbled unknowing into strange cots, only to be awakened for their shifts by bemused nurses ready for their own beds.
"Hello,"
the new girl said politely as they entered the tent that had been their home these last 12 months.
"No,"
Kathleen, the plain-faced nurse from America, allowed, heading directly to her bunk. They had been fed the infernal hospital soup along with the unexpected treat of fresh plums at the end of their short shift. There had been a lull in the continual contest over the same yards of churned, bloody French soil, and thus the number of casualties pouring into the hospital had slowed. A 12-hour day was a comparative luxury compared to their experiences after the Battle of the Somme less than a year ago. The American dove toward her pillow with almost lustful abandon.
"Kathleen,"
she said, indicating herself, and then flapped a weary hand toward Charlotte.
"Sherry,"
she added, giving the nickname the wounded French soldiers had bestowed on the other girl.
"Charlotte,"
the other corrected, and observed on the new girl's face an eyebrow flick, registering the faint accent her voice still carried. The new girl extended her hand primly.
"Alice."
Charlotte shook the offered hand.
Alice had prominent bones in her hand and very fine, pale skin, unlike the olive of Charlotte's more foreign complexion. Alice's English diction was precise, her speech dancing with the tones that only birth and wealth and high church could provide.
"Take the cot,"
Charlotte said, trying not to resent the time the new arrival kept her from her own waiting pillow and blankets.
"We'll get you sorted out in the morning."
"Oh, thanks much,"
Alice said.
"I slipped over on a mail packet, and one of the boys driving the ambulance made some room for me in the back."
Charlotte smiled wanly and grunted in a way that only indicated acknowledgement, not interest. Nurses came over in all kinds of ways now, so hopping one of the little boats that plied mail across the channel was nothing special, nor was catching the ambulance. Most of the drivers were boys, and they'd not turned down the opportunity to flirt, however shyly, with a young miss in the horse-blanket-ugly, dark-blue serge uniform of a nurse.